Moncrief on News Talk.
The sudden increase in the price of fuel in the last week is an example of how our island is vulnerable to developments in other parts of the world. And the same applies to food. Despite producing so much of it, Ireland's food security is rather fragile. Indeed, it's arguable that our ability to feed ourselves is declining. This week, one of the country's major carrot producers decided to cease production. Michael Kelly is founder of GIY. Good afternoon, Michael.
Hi, Sean. How are you doing?
If something catastrophic happened in the morning, Michael, would we be able to feed ourselves just with what we're making now?
I think, yeah, like our former Taoiseach Leo Varadkar used to say that we produced enough food on the island to feed 35 million people, I think he used to say. And that'd be grand if all they were eating is beef and dairy, because effectively that's the way our agriculture systems is set up. About 90% of the food we produce is exported, and that's mainly beef and dairy. And then on the other side of it, with vegetables and fruit, we're importing nearly 85% of the veg and fruit that we produce. So the vast majority of the veg and fruit that we eat is coming from increasingly kind of further and further afield. We've effectively outsourced quite an important part of the national plate, you know, to growers in other countries. And I think it's indicative, I suppose, of the way the system values beef and dairy and values food that can be exported and doesn't value food that, you know, vegetables and fruit that we produce here for our own consumption. And that story you mentioned, that company, really, really kind of depressing news that they've gone into liquidation, a farm called Hughes Agriculture, one of the biggest carrot producers in the country. And that's indicative of the broader picture, where we had about 600 commercial veg growers back around the year 2000. We now have 73, I think, officially as of today, because of that news with Hughes. So the veg sector, like our indigenous veg sector, is collapsing under our noses, and very few people talking about it. And I suppose the system seems to, you know, the way it's set up now for a constant sort of trade in and out is fine until it's not fine. And we see what's happening in the Gulf, as you say, with the impact of that. About a third of the fertilizer in the world goes through the Straits of Hormuz. And so, you know, the potential for shocks to the system, I suppose, we've seen the impact of, you know, first COVID, then the sort of droughts and floods around Europe, you know, conflict like this, climate change events and so on, really expose just how vulnerable we are, I think.
Yeah. And why is it so difficult to produce vegetables in this country then?
Well, it's not. I mean, we have a fantastic climate for growing veg. You know, we have a temperate climate. We've got plenty of rain. So we can grow pretty much everything here. The problem is that a sector that was doing okay up until around the year 2000, what's happened since then to drive all those growers out of the industry? First of all, their input costs, like every, you know, small business, have gone through the roof, the labor costs and the energy costs. Some sort of things peculiar to the food industry as well, in terms of input costs, the cost of fertilizer, all that has gone up as well because of the war in Ukraine. And then the biggest driver, in my opinion, is vegetables are too cheap in the supermarket. So we've got, about 20 years ago, we started to see really aggressive price promotions around vegetables, to particularly at Christmas. So people might remember that, like the 49-cent Brussels sprouts and carrots and things, and they were designed just to get you into the store, you know, to do your Christmas shop. And then they became a kind of a semi-permanent and now almost a permanent feature of our retail environment, where, you know, veg they're actually in real terms cheaper than they were 20 years ago. So like only yesterday, ironically, I was talking on social media about like Lidl have an advertisement in bus shelters at the moment, picture of a grower in Wexford standing in his field with the carrots, you know, same as what this company Hughes in Kilkenny went out, who have gone into liquidation, and they're advertising them for €1.29. So it's like, it's just not viable for people, you know, to grow food. Sometimes the supermarkets take the hit on that and use it as a loss leader, but other times they force the grower to take the hit on it, and it's pushed growers out of the sector in their droves. And why this is important, I think you could say, well, look, does it matter if we get our carrots from Ireland or if they come from, you know, somewhere else in the world? Well, I think, you know, what we gain from local food is first of all deliciousness. Like, and some of the most common feedback we get from people who grow some food themselves at home is this just tastes like something, you know, I remember from my childhood almost. And the reason that is because food that travels a long distance from, you know, say 4 months on the back of a container ship from South America or from Africa or from India, you know, it's not fresh anymore. And so it's not holding on to its flavor. It doesn't hold on to its nutrients. And so I think as consumers, ultimately, if we don't have, you know, Irish veg in season, local, in our stores, in our supermarkets, then we're not able to access food that's really nutrient dense and really delicious. And we're also then, you know, shockingly unsecure or insecure from a food perspective as well.
Yeah. How much should a kilo of carrots actually cost?
I think it's probably double what it's at the minute, you know, in the kind of three kind of euro level. And like, it's not a very popular argument to be saying we should be paying more for food, but actually, you know, I guess we have to be also honest about the fact, Sean, that like nearly half, 47% of the national shopping basket is ultra processed foods now. So we've completely changed what we eat. And, you know, we're prioritizing, I suppose. And in some cases, it's driven by very real budgetary problems that households have. But vegetables aren't the root of food inflation. They're just not. Like, if you plot the price of veg on a graph, it's actually gone down over the last two decades. So I think we're seeing the impact of that. We're seeing the impact of a shocking lack of support from government for the veg sector. And as I said at the beginning, just the lack of interest in sort of protecting businesses if they're not gearing up for big export, you know, as part of the big sort of farming economy, I think, you know.
Mm. Well, I suppose in the midst of a cost of living crisis, you know, leaving aside for a moment any government support for the sector, if people were confronted with having to pay actually what they cost, they wouldn't buy them. That might drive people more towards processed foods if they're cheaper.
Yeah, that's a possibility for sure. I think there's a very uncomfortable conversation to be had about, you know, what we're spending our money on and our priorities, and that's choice, right? So I'm not, you know, what people want to spend their money on is their own business. But the reality is there's always a cost to cheap food. There's a cost, you know, in terms of the impact on our health, the impact on the environment, the impact on local jobs and so on. So like, these things are not without consequence. That's the point. Like, I don't think vegetables need to be super expensive, but I think they're too cheap at the moment. And the impact that's having on our food security is, you know, I obviously dearly hope that this doesn't turn into a full-blown crisis with what's happening in the Gulf. But if a major shock was to come and suddenly there were no veg on the supermarket shelves, you know, I think we'd really struggle then because we're losing these generations of knowledge and expertise around production of food when these growers go out of business. And I think that's, you know, we won't know what we had until it's gone. And I think there are things government can do. You know, the veg sector, there's a sort of a universal basic income for most farmers through sort of single farm payments and so on. That's almost entirely absent when it comes to veg growers. So we're sort of, again, we're prioritizing the export side of it, the beef and dairy. And also we have an agri-food regulator, but that, which is effectively a kind of an ombudsman, but that sort of body, I don't think has enough teeth to sort of get, you know, supermarkets to sort of to play ball here. And you know, it's the profits being made by the big supermarkets here are astronomical. Like, they're making massive amounts of money, but they're doing it on the backs of these small businesses in some cases that are really struggling to stay viable.
Mm. So, but could we give, or could, would it be within the gift of the government to introduce some sort of single farm payment for people growing vegetables, and still, you know, would that be kosher within the terms of EU law?
I think it would. I mean, I don't sort of know that environment really well, Sean, but it's already there for other parts of our agriculture sector. So I really don't see why not. I think the problem is, and like, we're a small grower down here. I suppose we have a small organic farm in Waterford, as well as our kind of advocacy work. And you know, it's a really, really tough kind of a landscape. And I've had meetings with people in government departments and so on to sort of to make that point around supporting, you know, we maybe can feed 100 or 150 families from a fairly small land bank here in Waterford, like about 10 or 12 acres. And I think that kind of a system can be replicated, and we don't want to scale up to be, you know, supplying into supermarkets, but the kind of approach we have could be replicated. And it's I think where, you know, I think government department and other agencies of the state in this sector just take a pretty dim view if you don't want to get bigger and get, you know, export and so on. So I just think there needs to be a whole sort of new thinking around this really important part of the national plate. You know, all of the science from a health perspective and from a planet, you know, climate change perspective tells us we need to be eating more veg. And people really value them, I think, but it's just, you know, it's just not, that's not sort of showing up in terms of support for the sector. And I guess as consumers, for sure, we have a role to play here. We can sort of demand Irish veg, and we can vote with our wallets when we can. But I think really government and retailers are the big two stakeholders here that need to be held to account on this.
Let me just read you out one text from a listener. I'm a potato grower in North County, Dublin. The horticulture audit is way over the top. It's not viable for a small producer to meet the standards set. We all understand that the products have to be safe and have to have high standards, which they are. But the red tape and paperwork involved is crazy. Have you found that? And B, the when we're importing cheap carrots and indeed cheap potatoes, where are they coming from?
Yeah, well, that's a brilliant point, because you will see, you know, while Irish veg growers are being put through the ringer on all of these, you know, all of these kind of procedures and processes, some of which are very necessary. But then you're seeing, you know, produce like tender stem broccoli from Kenya on the shelves in a supermarket. You're seeing produce coming in from India and South America, where they don't have those kind of, you know, strict rules around pesticide usage and things that we have in the EU. So we've got this bizarre situation where our own indigenous sector is forced through, you know, to jump through all of these hoops, and then supermarkets are allowed to import stuff where, you know, those standards just might not exist at all. So I think that's the troubling side of this sort of global trade. So I think it's, and then you also see there's been a lot of kind of mislabeling recently, like in certain supermarkets. I've been trying to highlight this as well with you know, we had an example recently with tomatoes. It said Irish tomatoes and then country of origin Spain underneath it. So it feels like, you know, there's a different standard of accountability for retailers in some sections than there is for the primary producer.
Michael, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was Michael Kelly, the founder of Grow It Yourself.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.